This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome to our weekly Money in Motion segment here on the Michael Kula Show. This segment's sponsored by Klaus Financial. Answers to all your retirement questions in one place. Joining us in studio, both Malia and Steve from Klaus Financial. Steve and Malia, welcome back.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Yes. I know it's starting to feel like spring, and it looks like today's first topic revolves around how to do some spring cleaning for your finances. How and where do we start with this?
That's a good question, Mike. Actually, as most people, as you mentioned, are starting the spring cleaning for their houses, we look at it, like you said, from the finances. And to a large extent, it's working to get rid of a lot of probably excess paper. The number of times we hear people talking about, you know, where they'll have years and years and years of investment statements. And I kind of jokingly say you need to take a look at those and maybe keep the year end for each of your respective accounts, if it's IRAs and or non-IRA accounts. But after that, you could actually start shredding an awful lot and probably level the house back out again.
Yeah.
It gets to be crazy, especially when you'll hear people say, well, I have 20, 30 years of investment papers or tax returns.
Or canceled checks.
Oh, canceled checks, absolutely. Decades. You know, and in addition to the investment paperwork, a lot of times, again, people are just wondering, well, what do I need to keep and what don't I need to keep with regard to tax returns? For the most part, as we understand, you always want to double check with what your accountant may tell you. But if you keep 6 or 7 years of tax returns instead of 20 or 30 years of tax returns,
you're good.
You're probably in great shape. When you look at other types of legal documents, you might have deeds to your house or insurance policies, titles to your property. Like I said, if you've got your home paid off, of course, sometimes people will burn that mortgage once that's done. But
I thought you were supposed to frame it.
Well, that's true. You know, and photos, you know, they're always talking about from a standpoint of homeowner's insurance to have receipts and photos of any big ticket items. So if there is a fire or a theft, you can document, you know, and support your insurance claims. And also, one of those other things you might want to frame is that marriage license, too.
And now, you joke about that, but, I mean, seriously, is that something that people should... I mean, does that have anything to do with your finances and stuff? Because I know when people do, people forget when they do get married. In a lot of ways, that's a start point for the combination of all your finances, right?
Very much so. And in fact, actually, depending on what you're trying to accomplish, sometimes when you're trying to change some titling of accounts, they may or may not require a marriage license, especially if you were single when you first set up the account. To verify a change of names, you know, wills, passports, various things of that nature. We always suggest keeping those in fireproof lockbox. I mean, for years past, many people would put those type of documents into a safe deposit box at a bank or a savings loan.
Right.
The problem with that is you may or may not be able to get it when you need it. So it's usually better actually to just keep that in your home. In today's environment, you can get small fireproof boxes that are not as clunky as they used to be and still provides you with all that immediate access.
Yeah, my family, unfortunately, my grandparents had an awful fire years ago, and they had a lot of their very important documents in a fireproof box, and it was good, you know, for a lot of reasons afterwards that a lot of the very important documents were saved.
Absolutely. It can actually probably speed up the insurance claim process when you've got some of those important documents handy.
Probably also a good idea is to scan these documents onto a hard drive. So to have the permanent items sitting in your lockbox is a good idea, but also to have it scanned and so that you know it's available. And these days, most of our things we're scanning to different agencies and so forth. So to have an e-copy of everything probably makes sense.
Yes. Now, what about the idea of being almost paperless at home, which is, you know, similar to this topic? as far as scanning and stuff goes. Is this a good idea? And you know, putting things into the cloud, I know, is a great way to keep things in a place where, you know, if your computer dies, at least it's in the cloud somewhere. What about the safety of using the internet to save a lot of your documents?
Well, we really have to look, we have to compare today. We have to look at ease, you know, ease of paying our bills. Most people at this point, if you take a, probably take a question a large group of people, they'll tell you most of their bills are paid either automatically or online through an automated bank service. And really not having so much paper in your mailbox, which has identifying documents, signatures, and so forth when you pay your bills, is actually a safer way to go. When we talk about what statements you need to save, honestly, you know, once you have paid the bill and you've seen it clear, there's really not a reason to hold on to a statement or a check or anything like that. So we're really proponents of, at this point, paying as much as you can online, making sure it clears your bank, and shredding the documents, as Steve said. So shredding does not cost very much by the pound.
No.
And a lot of local banks offer it for free.
Or for some houses by the ton.
Exactly. So, you know, I really would like people to, if they haven't initiated that type of payments online on a monthly basis, to look at doing that. And another area really we wanted to talk about is, you know, security. And as you brought up about the cloud and what's safe, what's not, we always want you to do things on a password-protected, secure network. I recently went to a conference. They talked about what the fraudsters do all the time, how they're stealing our information if you're not in a secure site. Oftentimes people are at hotels and they see free Wi-Fi and they're starting to do their personal business there. That is one of the easiest pickings for a fraudster. So we don't want people doing these types of things unless they're in a secured password network.
That's a great point. And can I just add something about that?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of phones now have personal Wi-Fi spots where you can use your phone as a personal Wi-Fi spot to connect your computer if you're in a hotel. I almost always do that when I'm doing anything personal finance-wise on a hotel, because I know that my phone is secure going through the Wi-Fi that way, whereas those free ones, many cases, are not secure.
They're easy pickings, and we don't want that for anybody. And we talk about backing up your computer files. That's something important to do regularly, downloading your monthly statements if you feel compelled to do so. But to be quite honest, if there's any statement you really need, you can contact that organization, that financial institution. They can have it within hours or by the next day. So again, we feel compelled. We're a tangible generation, those of us who are over 50. The people younger than us, probably not so much, but we still like to hold onto our paper and our statements. We don't really need them, folks. We need to shred them and make sure that we know where we can reach them if we really need them.
Yeah, it used to be in years past, when in doubt, keep it. Nowadays, we're really more proponents of when in doubt, shred it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because identity theft is such a more common thing these days. And unfortunately, even with all the security, it in many ways is easier because your information is out there so often. And not even just the online stuff, but like you said, you know, this paperwork sitting around in a mailbox, if you don't shred some of this stuff or it goes out to a pile of garbage somewhere in your community, people can rummage through that and do a lot of damage.
And that's a great point. And the other thing that's probably sitting by the home computer right now for many of our listeners is their passwords to all their accounts. And I would like to just quickly remind everybody, not the place to keep your passwords. Look into having your own password vault. There's a lot of them available. They're offline, so they're not hidden up in the cloud or anything. You have one password to open up all your passwords. So if you forget that password, you are out of luck. But you can get something like this for as little as $10 to $20, a secure password vault that you can safely put in all your passwords. When I speak to women and they tell me they're carrying their passwords in their purse, I cringe. When I hear they're sitting at home next to their computer, I cringe. We don't want to have our passwords available out there. And that's the easiest pickings, again, for identity theft.
Yes. And I know it's hard these days with all the different passwords.
Yes,
but
it is.
The best place to save your password is in your brain and in your brain only, right?
Yeah, your brain's true. That big, that's great, but mine's not so much.
We are speaking with Steve and Malia from Klaus Financial. You can go to klausfinancial.com for more information, klausfinancial.com. You can also call Klaus Financial at 815-877-8440. That's 815-877-8440. If you have any questions at all about anything we've brought up thus far, feel free to call in, 815-398-9765. That's 815-398-WROK. We will be right back with Klaus Financial's Money in Motion. Don't go anywhere.
This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
That's right. Welcome back. We continue with Steve and Malia in studio. And before we go on talking about the spring cleaning and document consolidation and those sort of things, tell our listeners, if you will, about the Market Pulse weekly sign-up or newsletter thing you guys have.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that, Mike. Our listeners can go to klausfinancial.com. And they will see a place on the website where they can just quickly sign in, log in to go ahead and sign up for this. It comes out on a weekly basis. It's really just nice for our listeners to be in touch with what's going on. We consolidate down the previous week's history and just gives you a little snapshot of what's going on in the economy. In case you're thinking about politics too much, you can at least come to this as a source of your financial intake for the week.
Yes. My wife and I were talking about that the other night, that, you know, we need to talk about our finances and our longer term picture a bit more, especially as we're distracted by, you know, all of the this being a political season. And I know you've both discussed on the show in the past many times this idea to as far as your information goes and your financial documents and whatnot, to consolidate and simplify. What exactly do you remind our listeners what you mean by that?
Yeah, that's a good point, Mike. And you're right. You hear that from us frequently. It's consolidate, diversify, and simplify. What we're really talking about there is, in today's environments, many times people may have been at 3, 4, or 5 jobs over their working careers. And more times than not, they will end up keeping those retirement dollars, for example, in the 401k at the old employer. You know, once a quarter, once a year, they get the statement, they throw it into the drawer, they may even forget about it and have probably no idea how it's invested. So we're strong proponents of consolidating those accounts, taking control of them. You know, with your past 401k plans from other employers, you can actually consolidate and roll those over into your own IRA. So you have a way to have that invested based on your goals and objectives for your retirement. I mean, that's one of the biggest things you hear us talking about there. Another area of consolidation is credit cards. I mean, you hear us talking about minimizing and eventually eliminating your debt, especially as you're going into retirement.
Yes.
But the number of times you'll hear people say have 3, 4, 5 credit cards, it could be between each spouse. It could be a situation where they're paid off or they're all at their max. You know, again, we talked recently about if you have minimum payments that you're making on your credit card, you've created another mortgage mm-hmm. that could take 20 or 30 years to pay it off. Even from a credit rating standpoint, as we understand it, if you have multiple cards, even though there's no balance on them, that's not necessarily a plus for your actual credit score, which you hear Malia talk about in a minute. So that's one thing that we say, and many times it's good to just close them out, call up the institution, close them out, and shred the cards. You need one at least, but you don't need 10. Updating your beneficiary arrangements on your retirement accounts and insurance policies. You hear us again talking about legal documents with the trusts, wills, powers of attorney for property. As I jokingly say, you know, every roughly 5 years, you need to blow the dust off of them and see if they still say what you wanted them to say.
And if you don't have them, it's time to create them.
Very much so. Very much so. Because those are important. You know, we're working really hard to help people accumulate and create their goals for retirement. At the same time, if you have done a good job of accumulating for retirement, but you do not have the legal documents in place, that can create all kinds of issues when things pop up for yourself, your spouse, and or your heirs.
Are there any other areas that we should be cleaning up?
Well, I think it's good to take stock of where you have your insurance coverages. Do you have different companies doing different things for you when it comes to insurance? And I think what tends to happen sometimes is people become very loyal, which is, we're all about loyalty, but they kind of miss the boat when it comes to competitive rates. It's no surprise that, you know, normally everything gets more expensive to replace. So what we often see is if we ask our clients about their homeowners insurance, and they say, well, I've been with so-and-so for 30 years, and they've always been good to me. Well, the truth is any insurance company is only as good as their service when you have a claim. There's the key there. But the other thing is we assume prices go up to replace, and insurance companies have a tendency to raise the coverages to replace as well. Now, in our area, in our region, things are not going up in price to replace, so you probably want to take a close look at that. Just being competitive with your car insurance, your home, your life insurance, adjusting coverage levels. I mean, life changes. Maybe you have a new child or whatever. You need to be looking at these things literally on a yearly time frame. Checking your current mortgage rates. We talked about that last week. It may be time to refi. The rates are still really low, so you need to be looking at that. Looking at the fees you're paying. You might have a headache afterwards, but on your phone and your cable. These are bills that, you know, 20 years ago we never really had major bills, but, you know, a monthly bill for your service at home can really add up when it comes to internet services and telephones. And as you enter retirement, we want to make sure we've got these consolidated down to be as competitive as possible for you.
And I know a lot of people have the auto withdrawal mechanism for a lot of bills, which is great. It's one less bill to write. However, it changes sometimes, and if you're not paying attention to it, you know, out of sight, out of mind, you might be charged fees for things that you might not realize you were.
Right, and obviously after that, we see lots of lawsuits come up because people are being charged things they shouldn't have been. So,
right.
Absolutely.
And back to what Steve said about your credit, very important to keep a stable of what you have. And the best way to do that is to run your credit every year. It's the only free website to do that off of these days is www.annualcreditreport.com. So I'll repeat that, annualcreditreport.com. It's free. You can check all three services, Equifax, TransUnion, Experian on that. You can do it once a year. There's no charge. And we would recommend to do that because you'd like to see who else is looking at your credit. And you'd like to see if there's any things that you know you've paid off that are still showing up on there, which could be dragging down your score. I like to do it every 6 months. I like to do it for myself, maybe on one or two of the agencies, and then might check my partners, my husband's, to make sure that we're not seeing anything that's kind of unnecessary on there. And again, identity theft, that's a good way to be kind of looking out for it if you're checking your own credit. And then finally, the other paperless item we wanted to discuss today was setting up an account on SSA.gov. That's for your Social Security benefits for the future. If you set up an account, you can see what benefit you will get at your full retirement age or your earliest retirement age at 62. It's good to know those figures, and you can also check to make sure that Social Security has received correct figures from the IRS, which will help determine your eventual benefit. That is a secure website, and so we direct our clients quite often to SSA.gov.
SSA.gov and annualcreditreport.com, annualcreditreport.com. This has been Kloss Financial's Money in Motion. For more information, go to klwasfinancial.com. We've got a minute or so left here. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Steve or Malia, before we say goodbye?
Well, I think the other part that we talk about also, Mike, is just in looking at your budgets over the course of a year, you know, when you get a raise going forward, before you work that into your lifestyle, it's always good to add a little bit more to your retirement account for the future savings. Because as we point out, you must save for your own future retirement income. Nobody else is going to do it for you in today's environment.
Yes, that is extremely important. You've got to, like you've mentioned before, you know, pay yourself first when it comes to issues about finances and retirement and all of that. And also take care of yourself first for a lot of these things. You got to look out for number one.
You got it.
Yes. Listeners, again, please feel free to go to klassfinancial.com, KLASSfinancial.com. Call 815-877-8440. That's 815-877-8440. If you have any questions at all about Cost Financial, or you want a sit-down consultation with anyone from Cost Financial, it is free, that initial consultation, so you have nothing at all to lose. And again, we can't emphasize it enough, consolidate, diversify, and simplify. Those are three key takeaways that I took from our discussion today. All right. We will be right back on the Michael Coolidge Show. Hour number two coming up after this. Don't go anywhere. I can hold out for now.
This is Money in Motion with Klass Financial. Securities by licensed individuals offered through Investacorp Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA/SIPC. Advisory services offered through Klass Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Klass Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Klass Financial.